This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, January 29th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have an open line Monday. We haven't had an open line Monday for a while, but Aaron Green is with me, and that means that you can call in and talk about one or two things that you see is trending in the news or what is trending on social media. We'll be happy to entertain it. But as usual, we have one or two things that we would like to discuss, right? I want to play a clip. It's from Parliament. Because I want to bait, Aaron's telling me my grouper. I want to bait Aaron in terms of what does it mean. It's a 2-minute clip, 3-minute clip, right? And that's one of the conversations I want to have. And that conversation is persons of interest and things we have forgotten, and should we hold somebody accountable to explain? Go ahead, Aaron. What do you say?
I just would like to say that today I am a bull shark. And I want to say to regular beachgoers at Montague Beach, be careful, be vigilant. I got reports this morning that a man was swimming and a bull shark gently nestled up to him this morning looking for a hug. I don't think the shark at that point was aggressive and the man was able to get out the water. But y'all be careful on the beach. Because bull shark like me out today.
Yeah. And just saying with sharks, I see, besides having a crime notice warning by the U.S. Embassy, I saw there was also a shark warning notice for tourists. I never saw that before. I didn't know that such exists. But I did see a notice that says warning tourists to be cognizant of their awareness inside the waters because there's a shark problem here. That was just different. But anyway, producer, play that clip for me, please. Like the first 3 minutes of that, and so I can see you. Persons of interest. Go ahead.
As he attempted to smear me and damage my reputation for political purposes, he's likely to be a member, a person, Madam Speaker, of interest when it comes to the Bermuda matter, Madam Speaker. Someone who presided over the removal of public funds in order to use for private political purposes, Madam Speaker, he is likely to be, I think it's called misappropriation, a person of interest, Madam Speaker. When he's talking about person of interest, that member, Madam Speaker, should also think in terms, Madam Speaker, about having been written formally as the leader of the country, the leader of government, about a senior public servant who wrote on a minister at immigration, who they firmly believe was in violation of the law and other regulations, and the Prime Minister admitted he was made aware of the complaint, and yet the Prime Minister did not protect the whistleblower who a short time thereafter, Madam Speaker, resigned, Madam Speaker, and a senior, the second in charge, Madam Speaker, was placed on administrative leave by that minister, aided and abetted by this Prime Minister. Madam Speaker, if you want to talk about a person, you want to talk about a person of interest? The person of interest, Madam Speaker, the same Prime Minister pursues a prosecution of a member of the Free National Movement. Madam Speaker, we are not here to make anybody guilty or innocent of any charges that have come. But he has a Prime Minister who took that on as a personal assignment. I believe court transcripts indicated that essentially, Madam Speaker, a report, Madam Speaker, was turned over to the minister and the prime minister, and then charges resulted. But in the very same corporation, Madam Speaker, other matters arose that were similar to the matters that this member has pursued. And yet this member, Madam Speaker, decided that he would not pursue any investigation, Madam Speaker. And we brought all of the articles, and I'm prepared to lay each of them, where this member, on similar matters, refused to act in order to protect the resources of the corporation, or to at least determine whether or not there was malfeasance, Madam Speaker. There was enough issues for him to fire someone, but there wasn't enough issues, Madam Speaker, for this member to continue an investigation. So he wishes to talk about a person of interest. There's a lot of interest in his style and nature of governance, as in my view, Madam Speaker, we've said over and over, this administration, a serial law breakers when it comes to the very regulations that they require members of the public to follow. So there's one rule that they want the public to follow, but they themselves are not prepared to be governed by those rules, Madam Speaker.
And that's a clip I wanted to play.
That's interesting. You know, a police officer told me last week that cabinet ministers don't have to follow traffic controls.
What?
In the car with a cabinet minister plate in it, that car don't have to follow traffic controls. The police officer told me that with his whole face,
so
in his whole uniform.
You tell me a cabinet minister could bump a police on the side if they are driving their car? That's what you said?
That's not what I said at all. First of all, I didn't say it. What I tell you is a police officer told me last week that cabinet ministers don't have to follow these traffic controls.
So they can go beyond a barricade?
I don't think he's making sense. I don't think he understands at all what a traffic control is or what a cabinet minister is even. But I'm just saying, Pintard said something similar. I experienced that last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. That was an interesting clip. It's very confusing, though. There's a lot he's talking about that we don't have, the average listener doesn't have the context for, right?
See, Aaron, I understand being a party supporter. But should a party supporter question things that seems untoward, right? I remember the Bermuda trip, and I was coughing for some reason. I am not sure whether that was finished paid for as yet. I remember the initial money was paid for, but I cannot confirm that the second part was paid for. Nobody came back to the public. They only announced that we paid for it, but no amount, no receipt was given. I remember the investigation in terms of the feeding network and concerns there.
And how is the word glibly? How lightly it appeared the Prime Minister treated it, considering, I mean, his tone and cracking jokes, and I'm not going to call these people's names. Is it something to take seriously, or is it something that we're not going to take seriously? I, though, have to say I'm a bit measured because I'm not hearing the opposition talk about all of these matters that the leader of the opposition alluded to in the clip. I'm only hearing them raise issues when it appears to be to their political benefit. Because surely the leader of the opposition, with his role in the Public Disclosures Committee, would have raised the alarm through the roof that something is not right with the Public Disclosures Committee, that not having had the disclosures from was it 2022, 2023, gazetted and published, that's a big problem.
It clearly is not a big problem, Aaron, because party supporters would say, hey, you're making my party look bad. How is it that we haven't had any disclosures as yet? How is it that you were purposely ignoring it? How is it that January has come and gone, right? Soon be March again, and we have yet to have any disclosure. Surely there's some sensible person in our party to come and say, hey.
I mean,
something is wrong here.
We have
these are things that are still pending that you need to address.
We haven't even had a statement from the leader of the opposition in his capacity, as a member of the committee, the prime minister in his capacity, or the chairman of the committee, as to the steps that they have taken to ensure that all ministers and individuals required to report understand their obligation, it's like the statutory obligation, and understand the process and are enabled with the resources to be able to complete the process by the given timelines. Nobody has stated anything publicly. And so I concerned because it appears as if the leader of the opposition is only speaking when the statements he is addressing speak to him personally or his party, mm-hmm. and not necessarily to governance and good governance at that.
Let's transition because I wanted to get that out. So hopefully it evokes some people to start questioning and pushing. I see the caller right now. I want to put this in the record so you could speak to it too. The headline read, "Not enough time given," says Abaco Shantytown resident.
Right.
And it's been 2 years, Aaron. What do you mean not enough time?
Okay. You ever tried to buy a piece of land?
Yeah, let's take a while.
But how long it took you? Roughly.
Well, you know, they investigate who owns it and whatever it is. So it takes like 6 months.
That's all it took you to buy the land?
Yeah, there were 6 months.
In New Providence or on the family island?
It was in New Providence.
On an island ravaged by the most devastating hurricane on record at that point in time?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that perhaps two months is not sufficient time. Perhaps 2 years is not sufficient time.
It's been 2 years now.
Yeah, but you telling me buying land in New Providence is one thing. Buying land on a family island is another thing. Buying land on Abaco is a completely different pot of fish.
And I want to know about duty of care, but especially for the Bahamians. I ain't worrying about the immigrants. I only think about Bahamians.
But, I mean, let's say this. In this instance, we will prioritize duty of care for Bahamians, but there is a duty of care that exists for immigrants.
I ain't go there. Let's go to the caller. I ain't go there with you, Aaron. We talk about behavior. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, go ahead. Oh, producer Patrick Ford. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I can hear you. You can hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, Paul Fia. Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri, you know. I know Mr. Nuri. I don't know if the word is sarcastic or just saying our party, right? Mm-hmm. But let me say for my party, the PLP, right? There are some of us who do speak out and ask questions about these things and talk how embarrassing it is, and we say we different than the other party, and we doing these foolishness. You know what they just do? I ain't gonna call no name, although he's supposed to be a public figure. These people around the prime minister, these the people the prime minister get around him. I call him petty and spiteful, and small-minded. The man tell me, say, "Papa, you better be careful what you say on the radio, yeah? Because you get children to feed." Just disagreeing with the party, you know, would make the government know, although you vote to put them there, you know. So you do have people in our party, like you use the word, or in parties, would speak out against these things. And these, you don't like us to use the word Negro, but these fellas, these people, them, they threaten you. But it's a lot of us, we not say don't worry, but they threaten, because it's not, you don't like that. But
you have to worry about it.
Yeah, you don't worry about it. You stand, you keep standing, and
right, yes.
You pray and you ask God to protect you and provide for you, because the arms of flesh, I mean, and it would have been a lie, would it say, the arms of flesh would fail you if everything would have been okay. But these people, them, man, these individuals, they just, I don't know. It's like,
yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Something will humble them, I guess. You know, life will humble them and bring them to what they need. But, Nuri, you're talking about the Bermuda trip, the 70,000, not 70,000, 70, what is it, 71 or 70 persons being away somewhere in Africa the other day, that place where they killed the homosexuals or
Uganda.
They get catch or something like that. I think that's Uganda or one of them over there in that part of the world. Where the prime minister and being the feed chipmunks the other day, I think we need not investigation, and I'm proud of my Bahamian people because they must be smart people, but we still would like to know. I think it's an obligation. They should tell us if we had to pay for that or they pay for themselves, and what is the benefit for carrying them? What if the Bahamas can be better off by carrying them? Because the first of all the stuff was happening in the country, I don't think the prime minister had to be in there. And then you get the what you call it, the media, like how you talk about you don't know if the Bermuda trip paid for yet, and I asked him a question about the 71 who gone to feed the chipmunks the other day. The media have a job to keep following up and try to get the question. You can't force them, but let the public know that they ain't no, you know, politically they ain't nobody. They word don't mean nothing. That's why sometimes you'll hear people call them political douchebags. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, man, Papa. Thank you very much. You know, when you go on a trip, right? Like when you go on a trip and you have the conference and then they have extra activities after the meeting, mm-hmm. right?
Feeding the monkeys.
Right. Do government officials pay for those things out of their own pocket, right?
I don't know.
They have to.
I think it was an official trip. If it was an official trip, it should be paid for by the state.
Even all of the extracurricular activities to
yes,
take place outside
part.
Of the meeting?
No, that's part of the agenda, a tour. When we brought at the Africans here and we toured them downtown to see
the cruise port. You can't be getting an MP salary and a cabinet minister salary, and we can't see your public disclosures, and ain't nobody will pass the Beneficial Owners Act, and you go on grand state trips, and the state pays for your extracurricular activity on it as well?
And food.
You're a cabinet minister and an MP, and you don't have to declare. And you don't have to declare your beneficial ownership in things. And you're a part of the unit. Anyway, let's go to the text. I got lots of texts here, Mr. Newry. The text says, you mean a cabinet? No, I can't read that one. That another text, that's not true. You can write up cabinet ministers and the U.S. officials, but they are exempted from prosecution. Another text, all of this goes to why we as a country is so corrupt. Another text, Aaron and C.A., can't the leader of opposition file a charge to the Commission of Police to address the non-disclosure of MPs? This is it, because it's a punishable offense, right? I think there's jail time.
That would be a complaint.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's jail time and a fine and or a fine attached to it. It just requires somebody to make a complaint. Hmm. I mean, I don't understand why the leader of the opposition has not done it yet.
What about the Speaker of the House? Can she do it?
Oh, I don't know. I have to determine.
We have another caller here, but I want to talk about this bail act again and flesh that out. So
okay.
I know we have one or two articles we read. Let's go to caller. We have anything more text before we go? Okay, let's go to caller first, and then we go to the text.
Yeah, finish off the text.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning.
Yeah, we don't want them to go to jail because they just got like $3 and $4 million to spend in one day in jail, whilst the average citizen go to jail for years on false arrests, et cetera, and different things, and come out and get nothing, even though they're innocent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want them to go to jail. Little good to go to jail. And I'm just making a little joke there, but what you said is an open line. So
yes,
here's some just one or two quick points. You know, I don't even want to talk about politics because my mind is beyond that. I'm looking at the destruction of my community where I live and in my inner city and the country at large, where we see the mindlessness and the proliferation of Chinese liquor stores and the proliferation of number houses. The proximity in which they exist is harmful to the community. So, you know, of course, I don't have a problem with the number houses. I don't have a problem with drinking. I drink beer now and then, but I'm able to control it. What I see is a lot of impoverished youth sitting around every day, being absorbed, drinking liquor, getting sicker, begging and hustling. And so there was a fool who texted about the criminals smoking marijuana. Obviously, they grew in an ivory tower, and they ill. Obama smoked weed. Bill Clinton made the joke, say he smoked it but didn't inhale it, which is BS, right? Now, I'm saying marijuana with a combination of liquor may be a problem, also with pills and syrup and all the other things the guys are doing. So what I'm saying is I have read Malcolm X's book, The Autobiography by Alex Haley, about 30 years ago. And what hurt me was that Malcolm X mentioned all of these things. And so I see these as a construct for destruction. So who sees otherwise? So all of these fools running around with PLBF, and I'm thinking people care about them. We don't care about one another. Then we see the destruction, I mean, the deterioration of the healthcare system. So where are these young people going to turn, given the fact that alcohol turns to sugar and they're destroying their bodies and their minds, given the fact that Dr. Tim McCartney had written the book, The Neurosis of the Sun, which I'd read, which explains the whole chronology of alcoholic psychosis. And so then, I say this, Aaron, because a guy was drunk, so drunk the other day, incapacitated, left past my yard, I asked a friend to guide him. The guy put him on the wall. He fell off the wall. This is already by dark fall right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he fell off the wall, hit his head, and he was laying on the side of the road, a couple houses down, on the right-hand side of the road. Nobody saw him, a passerby saw him in a car and thought he was dead and called the ambulance. So what I'm saying is, all of this talk about marijuana and other things, alcohol is causing a problem, but nobody's addressing it because you have people giving liquor license, not even, well, I know town planning doesn't exist because you have a liquor store 2 feet from the next one.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is we can't have town planning unless people have overridden
care for the community over their personal monetary gains. Because what I see is, it's just unbelievable. Okay? And I'm upset. And these are the kind of things that I'm focused on now at my old age. What we should have done is we should have more technical training centers versus these things. So then I see within itself that the people, the politicians don't care about the people. So they, the people, I'm sick. The police is doing a very good job. I saw they arrested some guy to the corner, got caught in the vehicle with a gun. I don't know what he's doing riding around with it, but they pull it over cars and they're doing what they have to do. But what they also have to do is clean up the rogue elements within the force, please, because the public know, and especially the inner city youth know what's going on. Clean up, put some implementations in place. I can't sit on the radio to frighten their hearts. You know, they've been getting away with foolishness for too long now. We see where you said that the cabinet ministers could ride through traffic without unabated.
That's what the police officer told me.
Yeah, but Aaron, you see, you think in the States the police officers do what they do over here? The police officers actually bully the public. You have little buck privates speeding around in cars, blowing people out of the way in the morning for nothing. Probably just to go get breakfast for the inspector or whatever. That's what I'm saying.
Listen,
it cannot be emergencies. Why watch these people bully the people off of the road?
52.
And some people will actually knock you down when they're so afraid of the police. And we have to stop that. The police is here to serve the public.
Yes.
And they have to give their... We should have an accountability report. We want to know certain things. Certain data needs to be released and revealed. All right?
Thank you.
What I'm saying, they're into fighting crime, then they're into talking it from the crux. Yes.
Thank you. Absolutely. Right? They're not focused on eradicating it. They're just focused on tackling it.
Okay, so let's...
finish off the text.
Finish off the text, and then we run through this Bail Act thing.
All right. How long can the Bahamian squatters stay on a property they don't own? And how from 2020, it's still 2 years since they were supposed to get off the land. Also, foreigners and all government departments helping each other get free land and homes while we live in cars on the street. Dear Texter, how long can the Bahamian squatter stay on a property they don't own? The stories will regale you. The stories are fabulous and fantastic about Bahamian squatters and the levels that they go, right? But they don't squat in the bush. They squat in other people's homes, in fancy homes. And the foreigners, rich foreigners do it too, you know. And the difference is money. That's it. Right? We ascribe status depending on how much money the person has. That's all. Because plenty Bahamians do it and they do it well. And plenty Bahamians facilitate other richer foreigners doing it also. Another text from 2020, they was to move and y'all say 2 years, like the murder count will stay at 1910 murders later. Okay, texter, no problem. This text says, good morning, Dwight. I imagine you're just resending it. Get to that. Oh, well, it is open line, eh?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we are here as a country is multifaceted. Primary reasons, in my view. Number one, the home is, quote, different in terms of building values and healthy discipline. Some of the fundamentals for building a healthy moral compass leads to lawlessness. I think that is worthy of interrogation because we say that. And sometimes we're really blind to what has been going on in a lot of Bahamian homes for a very long time. Number two, parents, guardians not, quote, paying attention to the needs of the children in raising them. Yes, I think that's a definite. Three, social promotion in the schools. Children are leaving school with no skills to be employed or work for themselves legally. Parents, it's your responsibility to take control of your children. I saw a request for social promotion to be applied in the government service in a big, 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 big story, and nobody properly addressed it. Social promotion just take root everywhere. Number four, undocumented persons and their children not being able to obtain status. That leads to illegal activities, housing, employment, gang membership to survive. Five, the influence of social media. Six, the remnants of the, quote, narcotics industry, and I will add, and the drug era. Very good points, Texter. Thank you very much for resending them as a part of this conversation. And the next one says, great show as usual. Tell 52, everyone wins. I think they also following in that tongue-in-cheek remark you made. 52.
Say everybody wins. Let's go to the caller here, then we'll start the other part. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Mr. Tenuri. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Good morning to Bahamas. Someone texted how long does it take to get someone squatting off your land, right?
Well, the text had indicated that in no Bahamian, it says, how long can a Bahamian squatter stay on a property they don't own?
Okay. If they're on your property and you give them 30 days to move, you can have the police assist you to have them removed. The law gives you
that power. The
right to give them notice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they on your land, what does the government use to get rid of shanty towns?
Bulldozers?
No, I'm talking the law.
Oh, right. The what's the name of the act?
They violate them. They're violating basically the Planning and Subdivisions Act, or what they call the Private Road and Subdivisions Act, whatever, right?
Yes.
So once they're in violation of that, remember now, there's a provision in the Act where the minister has the right to charge the owner of the property or whatever or whoever's there for being on the land. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So when you give them notice, that's your land, you can have the police to assist you to go there and have them removed. I would say to any Bahamian, if they you got a house and they're in it, you have the police to go there. You take down the doors, all the doors. You know them bomb that they used to get rid of? They put in a house to get rid of rodents or roaches.
You can't use chemical warfare.
No. But the police go there with you, and you give them notice that they come out, and as they're there, they must move. They must get their stuff out.
I mean, and that is the law, but remember, an injunction was filed, right?
Okay.
And the judge said that, listen, we are going to put a pause on the normal procedures, and I'm now requiring any requests, any attempt to demolish a home or a structure defined as irregular or illegal, that you have to come to the court first. So there was an injunction in place, and basically what the judge said was, we're not stopping demolitions, but before you demolish, I'm going to require you to come to the court and bring your documentation to me. Normally they wouldn't have to, right? But for the purposes of the injunction, you couldn't just knock down a shanty town, I think, in New Providence and Abaco. You had to bring your documentation to the court and let the court review it. And then the court would determine whether you could or not.
So, someone also said, let's not just restrict this to shanty towns. Someone in your apartment and don't want to get out.
Right.
You see?
Absolutely.
And you want them removed. And you give them notice. The law requires that you give them notice.
Yes, sir.
And 30 days, I think, is the minimum for them to move.
Yes, sir.
Right, and you could...
Unless, of course, they have enough money to get an injunction.
Well, they can get an injunction against you for your property when you give them notice that they have to move.
You need an eviction notice to get out.
Well, anyway,
which is a court
all it is giving them adequate notice, the court would say, that they have to move. And you go from there.
Okay.
So they don't have the right to hinder you, and then the court holds it up and carry on. So, but... The civil process is the civil process.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Yeah, man.
All right. Dear texter, I don't want to read this text. I'm going to let Mr. Newry see it, and Mr. Newry will determine whether we're going to read that text or not. I think the text is repugnant and not worthy of airtime.
Oh, for frick's sake. Okay, let's go. Let's move on, Aaron. Oh, God. Yes.
I just want you to know that it's not just me that thinks that that text should only be read for academic and educational purposes. Yeah. Mm. I ain't redundant it and say only again. So, Mr. Newry, I'd collected a number of articles to follow up on the bail discussion that we had touched on last week. This new list of articles starts on the 25th of January. Government pledges to amend Bail Act. Then we have the second article, AG, hardline amendments to Bail Act necessary. Another article from the 26th, that's Friday, the 26th of January. AG defends previous position on Bail Act. And in the Nassau Tribune on the same day, AG says he is not at odds with PM on Bail Act.
And I wanted to comment on the AG, not the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. On the same side as the Prime Minister. I remember a time when the AG said that the law is adequate. There's no need to change it, right, in terms of the Bail Act. So I'm not sure what is happening or whether what the Prime Minister is proposing. And there's a proposal. And I would even say this. I remember when the Prime Minister spearheaded the Urban Renewal Act, right, the bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's still pending. This is good. This is about 15, 20 years ago. So when I hear...
The first...
I'm trying to say. So when I hear that they trying to have a bill for bail, I'm picturing, saying, man, we've gone through this before. We've gone through this before because I don't forget, right? So I'm not encouraged or impressed to say that something would change soon. It is what it is.
Yeah. Carl, I saw the light flash just now. Please call back. So let's start with the first article, Government Pledges to Amend Bail Act. PM Davis yesterday announced his administration's plans to amend the Bail Act, which would allow for bail to be, quote, automatically, close quotes, revoked for accused criminals who commit a new offense. The unexpected announcement in the House of Assembly came less than 2 weeks after Attorney General Ryan Pinder said amendments to the Bail Act were not necessary, adding that under the current law, there is, quote, adequate protection and adequate ability for the judiciary to deny bail in certain instances. Yesterday, Davis delivered a communication on crime in the House of Assembly outlining his administration's plan to deal with the problem in the face of a rising murder count. That article is in the Nassau Guardian, 25th of January. Producer, do me a favor. The line number 5 is just flashing quickly and flashing off. Try catch it for me before it disappears. Second article, AG, hardline amendments to bail act necessary. That's also from the 25th. Of January. Attorney General Ryan Pinder said today that while the proposed amendments to the Bail Act have been described as harsh, they are necessary to protect Bahamian communities amid a rise in violent crime. PM Davis tabled the bail amendment bill in the House of Assembly yesterday. So the bill was tabled on the 24th of January. Pinder, who explained the changes, said the amendments are part of the government's crime plan, Crackdown 2024. I agree. Put the crack down in 2024.
Oh, Lord.
That's for people who have substance abuse issues. From now on, the only penalty for violating your bail conditions is jail, Pinder said during a press briefing at the office of the Prime Minister. Quote, yes, this is being described as a hardline approach, but we believe it is what is needed here in service of justice and to protect our families and our community. Close quotes. According to the proposed amendments to the Bail Act, any person who is on bail for a criminal matter and breaches the conditions of pretrial release will be committing an offense. The amendments would also remove a magistrate's discretion to impose a fine once a person is convicted of a bail violation. Such a conviction will instead be subject to a prison term of up to 5 years. The changes also state that a person granted bail will be required to enter into a recognizance of bail, which will set out the conditions they must adhere to remain on bail. See, these things didn't exist already?
They did.
They did.
This is a sleight of hand. But go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Yes, this is being described as a hardline approach. I'm going to repeat from early in the article, but we believe it is what is needed here in service of justice and to protect our families and our community. Close quotes. According to the proposed amendments to the Bail Act, any person who is on bail for a criminal matter and breaches the conditions of pretrial release will be committing an offense. The amendments would also remove a magistrate's discretion to impose a fine once a person is convicted of a bail violation. Such a conviction will instead be subject to a prison term of up to 5 years. The changes also state that a person granted bail will be required to enter into a recognizance of bail, which will set out the conditions they must adhere to remain on bail. Breaching any conditions of this recognizance of bail, quote, shall result in the revocation of bail, close quotes. The bill to amend the Bail Act states, Pinder said, quote, all too frequently we have seen individuals who are out on bail commit new crimes and offenses. And then remarkably, they are released on bail once more and in some cases go on to commit further offenses. I think the AG misspoke. I think what the AG meant to say is that they are released on bail and once more in some cases are suspected of committing further offenses. Back to the article, quote, in addition, we have also seen instances where the accused out on bail violates his terms of bail, for example, removing your ankle monitor as that is a condition of you being released, yet receives only a fine and is released back on bail. We are talking about repeat offenders, multiple offenders, and in many cases, violent offenders. The mandatory revocation of bail under these circumstances is part of a larger aggressive strategy to combat crime, focusing on rigorous enforcement technology, technological advancement, and judicial reform. And I think the critique raised by members of the judiciary is that you cannot label somebody as convicted of a crime if you only have arrested them on suspicion of committing the crime, and they have not been convicted of committing said crime.
Aaron, long and short of that is, it needs to get played in court. I shall wait to see if this bail bill moves into a bail act and then enforced. That, and that's the long and short. I just wanted the listening audience to hear the changes, and then I just have to wait and see what happens.
But who shall challenge it? And who shall pay for the challenge? Who shall pay the constitutional lawyers required to launch the challenge? Who shall pay for the operation of governance and justice? Who shall pay? Another article, AG defends previous position on Bail Act. So this is now Friday. Those two articles were from Thursday of last week. As Attorney General Ryan Pinder explained the proposed amendments to the Bail Act that were tabled in the House of Assembly on Wednesday, he said yesterday his previous statement that there was no need to amend the law was in reference to a different situation.
Lord have mercy.
Which situation, sir? Because everybody was talking about this situation.
Yes, but it is what it is.
Again, the Attorney General explained the proposed amendments to the Bail Act that were tabled in the House of Assembly on Wednesday. He said, he said yesterday his previous statement that there was no need to amend the law was in reference to a different situation. The Bail Act Amendment 2024 would allow for bail to be, quote, automatically, close quotes, revoked for accused criminals who commit a new offense. Quote, from now on, the only penalty for violating your bail conditions is jail, close quote, said Pinder at an Office of the Prime Minister press briefing. So has the bill been passed yet? I mean, quote, yes, this is being described as a hardline approach.
It's a proposed bill. Like I said, I remember urban renewal.
But we believe that it is what is needed here in the service of justice and to protect our families and our communities. The mandatory revocation of bail under these circumstances is part of a larger aggressive strategy to combat crime, close quotes. The proposed changes were announced amid ongoing worry over a surge in murders since the start of the year. Pinder said on January 11th that amendments to the Bail Act were unnecessary to handle the crime problem. Quote, it's not a change of heart, he said when asked about the matter yesterday. When asked that question, it was in the context of amending the Bail Act regarding the granting of bail and denial of bail. And I made clear that our regime provides for that and no amendments would be necessary because as I described earlier, there are grounds for the denial of bail. What this bill amendment seeks to do is provide a framework for bail to be revoked, which is a different context and concept from when I was asked the question. But didn't they ask you if the existing act needed to be amended? Mm. Because the answer is yes, because you're having a conversation about amending the act.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now, oh my goodness. Not to him, to me, because the words were going to fall out of my mouth just now. Wow, what an interesting article. Again, we're reading from AG Defense previous position on Bail Act from the 26th of January, 2024. Again, I'll continue the quotation. I'll repeat. What this bill amendment seeks to do is provide a framework for bail to be revoked, which is a different context and concept from when I was asked the question. I still stand by those comments, but those comments were with respect to the granting of bail and parameters for the denial of bail. Close quotes. Pinder noted previously that while the Privy Council has ruled that the automatic denial of bail for murder is unconstitutional, recent cases in the Court of Appeal demonstrate instances in which bail can be lawfully denied, including when the safety of a defendant is at risk and when the defendant's release poses a threat to public safety. He said yesterday that recently judges have been taking those factors into account more and opting not to grant bail in certain circumstances. But see, automatic denial means you don't consider the details, the dynamics mm-hmm. of the case. That's mm-hmm. what automatic denial means. Mm-hmm. This is not automatic denial that you're referencing, sir, mm-hmm. because the judge sits and reviews the details of the particular matter at hand, and then makes a determination.
It is what it is, Aaron. Like I said, I just wanted it to be read on the record, right? I have a text here. Let's see which text I'm going to read now. Let's see. I have a couple texts. Oh, press the wrong button, Aaron.
Press the wrong. And no thing, while you're looking for it, I'm going to continue reading from this article. Mr. Pinder said this is progress. Pinder said work is also underway to determine other potential reforms. Quote, a collaborative approach between the police, prosecutors, and the judiciary. So the police, prosecutors, and the judiciary, that's three entities, is important to ensuring the effective and timely prosecution of criminals. Mm-hmm. He said these three agencies of government have formed a special working group. Together, we will evaluate additional potential reforms, test their efficacy within our system, and build on what works. I mean, what works with the Constitution, right? Build on what works with the Constitution. Quote, one discussion point of this special committee relates to bail. Under what circumstances should it be granted? Under what circumstances should it be denied? And how can the police, prosecutors, and judges share with each other relevant information and developments when appropriate? Why didn't you include in there, under what circumstances should it be revoked? Mm. That's why people think he's talking about the same thing.
Mm. Let's go to the caller, Aaron. Good. Producer, press the caller. Let me press that button. Caller, can you hear me? Press the button again. I ain't pressing the wrong button. Caller, can you hear me now? No?
Producer, we got a caller on the line. We can't hear them. Coming right now, caller.
And press the button again. Can it work? No?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hey, yes, morning. I can hear you now.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron. Listen, did you hear the presentation that was done by Justice Isaacs?
Yeah, I was thinking of playing it.
Yeah, you know, because he said that the prosecution has the right to appeal a judge's,
decision.
Decision in regards to bail, but there have never been any appeals, you know. So it's up to the prosecution and even the government. A lot of these decisions that the courts make, the government don't even appeal them. Mm. They just take it, you know, for face value. So obviously they probably agree with the judges. So that on them, you know, because if somebody was out for five murders, four murders, whatever, the prosecution could appeal the case, but they haven't. It leads you to wonder what's going on.
Is the prosecution, that unit, that agency, are they so overwhelmed that they don't have the space to take on these appeals? You think that's what it is?
I mean, whatever. I don't know if because, I mean, if you were dealing with a case, I think you should see that case through to the end and just don't, you know, leave it hanging like that.
I hear you, sir.
That's why a lot of these cases are not being completed, you know.
But absolutely.
It's up to the, I mean, if the AG needs to hire more prosecutors or whatever they need to do, they just need to do in order to get this thing to run swiftly. We need swift justice. Allison Maynard, when they were in, they had this thing called swift justice, and I know how swift it was, but we need, justice need to be carried out swiftly.
Absolutely. And I think that's the central point, sir. Can the judiciary move at the pace of life?
Yes.
Right? In fact, this is a large cultural issue we face with here, mm-hmm. Mr. Nuri, mm-hmm. because do Bahamians understand the pace at which we must work, we must operate, we must drive on the streets to maintain the lifestyles that we've become accustomed to?
Has the government told us the pace that we should be at?
Does the government know? I want to put it on the table plainly. As I understand it, from what I can see, the government doesn't understand the pace that it needs to operate at to maintain the economy that it has become accustomed to, that it demands from its citizens. You all just are a monolith, and you don't think you have to move. But how will things get done? But what we got in response to that? See, some other people lobbied about the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the response they gave them people was, oh, we're going to, what is it, the commercial enterprise bill?
Mm-hmm.
And if you put in an application for a work permit and it's not approved in 14 days,
yep.
then just
automatic.
Assume that you
mm-hmm.
got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest pile of foolishness that I've ever seen, because nobody will acknowledge that the government has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that it cannot move at the pace required. It no longer attempts to. And so now foreigners have a particular set of foreigners, given the natural bias that exists in society and governance,
mm-hmm.
are prioritized, have an advantage over Bahamians and other types of foreigners that wish to invest in the country, because the government refuses to acknowledge that it, in and of itself, has to move at the pace required for its own policies to be successful.
And this is why I'm concerned about this movement of funds regarding the Ministry of Tourism and claiming all these extra money. I know that we're supposed to have a prison, supposed to be billing. I'm not sure we secure the money.
We got a roof at R.M. Bailey we're supposed to be fixing.
We have the hospital, supposed to be two hospitals.
Two brand new state-of-the-art hospitals. That's what they told the foreigners.
Within 5 years, no. This is the two more years, and they ain't started yet, man, Aaron. So when I see that they're moving monies that we can be allocating to other areas, I got to be concerned. I got to be concerned that come 2025, will we be ready for the general election based on the promises they've made?
I bet you Celebration Key could be ready.
Yeah.
Just because it's a foreign entity.
Just because it's a foreign entity.
And it understands the pace at which it must move to realize the promises that they've made to their investors.
Mm.
The government refuses to acknowledge the pace it has to move at to realize the promises it's made to its own citizens. Man, I even had here, Mr. Nuri, on this list of stories to talk about today. Pinder says, cannabis legislation to be tabled next month.
You still talking about weed?
No, I'm not talking about weed.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm talking about cannabis. See, if I was talking about weed, I would be even hotter, because we call everything weed and don't realize that the rest of the world is making money on blue vervain and mm-hmm. shepherd needle and thyme and Spanish thyme. We just call it weed and herb. Weed and herb. We could have been making real money, but now we must rely on the benefactors of the cannabis, potential cannabis industry, right? Everybody has endorsed it. The administration had also promised such legislation while the Bahamas Commission on Marijuana was formed and draft bills were circulated. No legislation was ever tabled in Parliament. In its pre-election document, Our Blueprint for Change, the PLP also committed to bringing forward legislation for the industry.
Mm.
At the end of August, nearly 2 years into the Davis administration's term, the government released a compendium of 11 cannabis-related bills for consultation with provisions including decriminalizing cannabis under 30 grams, legalizing medicinal and religious use of cannabis, and expunging criminal records for cannabis possession under 30 grams. At the time, Pinder said the proposed legislation was based on the findings of the CARICOM Regional Commission on Marijuana, which released its report in 2018, almost 6 years ago.
I enjoyed your conversation today, Aaron. Thanks very much for going through all of that with me, with our listening audience. We just need more people to listen and analyze and interrogate what is happening to us. We all are patriots. We all are nationalists. We all need a better Bahamas, so we need to challenge our government to do better.
And you think tourism is everybody's business? Governance is everybody's business.
No, tourism supersedes that. That's more important. That's why all the money going there.
Remember, today I is a bull shark, not a grouper.
All right, getting baited. Anyway, have a wonderful day. God in Reading AM with C.A. Nuri. Be blessed.